Please be seated. Good frosty morning, everybody. I know that it feels like the heat ain't on, but you know, one thing I realize is if we really put our energy and effort in our worship, we'll be all right. We'll be nice and warm. So I'm super excited this morning. We're coming off an incredible, incredible weekend. For those of you who are visiting with us this morning, thank you. We know that there's family in town. There's some college students that's probably coming home to be here, right? Some cousins and aunties and grandparents and, you know, sweet potato pies, all that kind of stuff is gonna be happening this week. But we welcome you. Thank you that you are here worshiping with us, being able to hear God's word, to sing, to praise, to fellowship. This is what a faith-based community looks like, right? We walk together, we sing together, we praise together, and we live life together. And so we welcome you guys. So, you know, I want to share with you just a little bit, you know, of what we had going on this weekend. There we go. So, you know, for those of you, you know, see, listen, our members, y'all know what happened, right? So I'm talking to our visitors for a second, right? Because they probably missed out. They probably have no idea what we do on a Friday, right? So I want to let everybody know what we do on a Friday. So we had our International Thanksgiving Potluck this Friday, okay? Now, I made the mistake and I gave a tip that was really bad. I said, you should take a little of everything, right? And that probably caused the traffic jam in the food, right? So that's my bad, I take that. But we had so much food there. It was incredible. And as you can see, we had, you know, we had karaoke going on. My man, you know, we had teens coming up and singing. We had moms and dads and all kinds of stuff going on. But as much as that was so cool to see brothers and sisters coming together on a Friday night, kids, you know, running around over there having a good time, food, you know how food always brings people together? Something special took place. We got a chance to witness a baptism. Rodriguez Saunders, a college student, made Jesus Lord of her life that Friday. And for those of us, yeah, there she goes. Welcome home. Welcome home. For those of us, you know, who have made this decision, whether it was 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, the fact that you get to see it again reminds us why we chose to live this life. Why we chose it. Yes, there are so many benefits of being a Christian, of being having your sins saved, having your sins forgiven. There are so many benefits. But there's something precious and powerful when you see someone go from darkness to light, to say no to this world, to say no to Satan, and have Christ reign in their lives. That is a feeling, that is something I hope we never get used to. I pray that every time we see someone make this decision to go from darkness to light, that it's an incredible celebration in your heart. That our hearts don't get so dull as if it's another thing. Because it really isn't. It's something special. So for those of you who are visiting, that's what we did on a Friday. That's what we did on a Friday. Now, I'm gonna go ahead. Now, ladies, listen, I know Christmas is coming up. I don't want y'all to start, you know, bumping your husbands because you see this diamond right there. Let's settle down. Settle down. Settle down. But I want you to think about this diamond for a minute. The value is not just in its looks, right? The value is the integrity of that diamond, the clarity of it, the purity of that diamond. That's what gives it the value. And the reason why I'm showing you this diamond right now is because it's not gonna be in your Christmas stocking, so you don't have to look for it. Sorry, babe, sorry. it's not gonna be there this Christmas. But I wanna compare it to the life of a Christian. You see, there are some things you can see outwardly, but the clarity, the integrity, is what's on the inside. And sometimes Christianity could look like this diamond, beautiful to the eye, but inside it's a zirconia. It's not real. And this is a challenge. This is a challenge for Christians because we got to walk this life. We got to live this life. And we're here in this world and we still have to deal with traffic and unemployment and sickness and wars and all kinds of stuff. And these things on the outside can you know, kind of scuff up the diamond, the way it looks. But we can't let it affect the clarity and the integrity of our heart, right? And so this morning, we're gonna start a 2-week series. Today, we're gonna talk about watching your life. And then next week, we're gonna talk about watching your doctrine, okay? And so the whole premises of this is really coming out of Paul. Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, a young man that he was sending to help minister to a church. And there was a lot of things going on in that church. He had false prophets and false teachings and just all kind of nonsense. And so he's sending them into the den, so to speak. Now, these people aren't wicked. These were Christians. But just because you are a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. And sometimes you got some stuff that's out of whack. And so you got to send somebody in there to help remind you of what you signed up for. And so he sends them out, and this is what he tells them in part of the letter, in 1 Timothy 4:15. He says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. You see, I believe that the Christian walk is kind of summed up right here. I gotta pay attention to how I live and the things that I teach, the things that I'm professing. I gotta pay attention to it because if I'm not paying attention to it, not only am I not gonna be helping myself, but I'm not gonna be helping anybody else. I can't imagine if Rodriguez was surrounded by some fake women who don't have convictions about the scriptures. I can't imagine what kind of damage that would have done to her faith to come to find out that they're a bunch of hypocrites, that they don't believe the things they've been sitting down with me in the scriptures and showing me. And so it's important. I think this is a great opportunity for us to reflect, especially for the fact that, you know, when you're around family for the holidays, they can really work a nerve sometimes. Sometimes, not all the times. They can really test the quality of your diamond, right? And so we're gonna have an opportunity to reflect on ourselves and say, okay, what example am I going to show around the people that knows me well? So that's what we're gonna talk about for the next 2 weeks. So again, today we're gonna focus on watching your life. Watch how you live. Now, it may not be necessarily, you know, people telling you what you're not doing or what's not right about you. I mean, that'll come. But there is a personal responsibility that each and every one of us have, whether you are in the light or you're contemplating your life. I hope that you're examining yourself regardless of where you're sitting. That you're gonna examine yourself to see, man, am I in this faith that I profess? Because that's what it's all about. In Mark chapter 10, we're gonna look at an interaction with Jesus and this young man. And in this story, I feel like it really helps captures some of the ideas that comes from watching your life and the things that you may profess. In Mark chapter 10, we're going to pick up in verse 17. It reads, "As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. 'Good teacher,' he asked, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" Great question. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud or honor your mother and father." And in verse 20, "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" To watch your life, you got to examine your heart. You have to pay attention to what's happening inside of your heart. Don't look at the outside. Don't look at, well, I go to church. I go to my family group when we meet together. Don't measure your walk based on the outward things that we do alone. That's not what Jesus is looking for, and that's not what we should be paying attention to. See, Jesus had the ability to look at us and know exactly what's in our heart. He doesn't need you to have a conversation with him to figure it out. He doesn't need to have coffee with you and ask you 7 to 8 questions to evaluate or assess the level and condition of your heart. He has the ability just to look right at you and say, "I already see what's going on. You're not fooling me. I already know." And the thing about Jesus and his interaction with this young man is, you know, he calls out the do's and don'ts of the law. If you notice the things that he called out, these are things that even if you're not a Christian, you can do. Like, I know people who aren't Christians who can care less about God. They're not murdering anybody. They're not stealing. They're not defrauding. I know some people like that. I'm guessing you too. So if we sit and measure based on the do's and don'ts, then man, our measurement is way off. And that's what Jesus was calling out. He says, "You're right. You know, you haven't done these things since you was a kid." And I would say, good for him. I would say, good. I'm glad that you're not doing these things, because at least you know what the law requires. Just like many of us in this room, we know what the law requires. We've been around for so many years. We've heard so many lessons and sermons, and you've done your own individual Bible reading. So you have a general idea what the word says. And yet, somehow, Jesus read this man's heart and saw that this diamond that I'm looking at, there's some lack of integrity inside here. And so he goes straight to it. You see, Jesus exposed the man's true condition, his true heart's condition. And he recognized that this man's heart did not idolize God, but idolized his wealth. You see, he realized that this diamond is not real. On this outside, the color and the beauty of this diamond wasn't real, because when it really came to it, his heart worshiped something else. His heart belonged to something else. And in this case, it was his wealth. But we know, like in 1 Samuel, we know that God says he doesn't look at the outer things, he looks at the heart, he looks at what's inside. Who benefits when we examine our own hearts. Who benefits from that? You and I do. You and I benefit when we sit down and we look at our own self and we examine, okay, where's my heart? Whether it's in a situation or a circumstance or in this relationship or how I treat people, where is my heart? It's okay to ask those questions to yourself. It's good, it benefits you. It's good that when we examine our hearts, we might discover something that needs to be addressed. When you think about a diamond is never inspected by the naked eye alone. It's always looked under some kind of magnifier. Why? Because they want to look at the details, right? They want to make sure that this is a true value. And so they pay attention. So you magnify the diamond. You magnify your heart. You put your heart under a magnifying glass because perhaps we may discover some blemishes. And guess what? If you discover some blemishes, that's okay. Jesus is not expecting you to be 100%, 100% perfection. He's not expecting that. And just like this rich young ruler, he wasn't expecting this rich young ruler to be perfect in every way. And as we're gonna be able to look a little further, we'll see what Jesus was really calling him to do. But we wanna examine our hearts. We also, if you wanna watch your life, you gotta figure out what's important. You gotta prioritize what's important. Because in this world, and then we'll talk a little bit about this, there are so many things that compete for what we consider a priority. In Mark chapter 10, picking up in verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." Now, I have this illustration here. And I love this illustration because it's simple. I like simple stuff sometimes. Person to the right, the green, we'll call him the green guy. Says, "I don't see it." The one in the middle says, "Trust me, I wouldn't lie to you." Then the third person is kind of co-signing what the blue said. It's true. It's right there. Now, it's a simple illustration, but think about how many times you have been in this scenario where you're trying to point someone to the right direction, but they don't see it. They don't see it. Even if you bring one or two, they don't see it. Or how about the other side? What about those times when one or two people came to you and said, "Hey, it's right there." And you say, "I don't see it. I don't see it." You know, my fear is that I won't have anybody in my life to say it's right there. That's my greatest fear. Because I know when I look at the scriptures, Christianity is not done by yourself. It's not done by yourself. There's a reason why God adopts us into his family. There's a reason why that we are sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. We're part of a family. And so if I can't be pointed in the right direction by those in my community, or if I'm trying to point something out to you and you aren't taking it, I have concerns. But guess what? Jesus shows the same level of understanding because he pointed this out to the young man. It says that he loved the man enough to challenge his mispriorities. You see, he recognized that, yeah, you've been holding on to these do's and don'ts, and rightfully so. But your heart, there's something in your heart that's keeping it from making me the priority. So So you're gonna have to get rid of it. See, Jesus loved them enough to tell them the truth. He loved them enough to say, where you're heading is not the right direction. And sometimes that might be received in humility, right? We hope that when someone is pointing out something to us, especially through the scriptures, that it's received with humility. But if it's not being received with humility, when the truth is being given to you and it's not being received, remember, God doesn't look at your do's and don'ts. What's happening in your heart? Why aren't you not responding to the truth? And so for this rich young ruler, he was faced with the same challenge. For us, it may not be wealth. Wealth may not be the thing that we hold on to or that we're prioritizing in our life. Maybe it's my pride. Maybe it's my selfishness. Maybe there's a level of stubbornness that I just refuse to let go. I don't know. But whatever it is, I know I have to let it go in order to follow Christ. You know, we heard earlier this morning in the communion message when Joe talked about, I'm not sure if it was Tom, talked about being in America. You know, America is an incredible country, right? We do have these freedoms, and we have the opportunity to pursue whatever our hearts desire. Many immigrants flock to this country. Why? Because they want to pursue something that they couldn't pursue in their home country. My parents were a product of that. My parents were Haitians. They came to the United States for that reason. They didn't stay in Haiti because they thought that it would be a better situation. They came to America. And the thing about Haitians, just to give you a little quick note, in our house, this is typically the priorities of life. L'église, l'école, la caille. Three priorities: church, school, and home. That's the typical priority in a Haitian home, right? Regardless of where you are. But sometimes these pursuits can be very misleading. We wanna provide for our family, so we push forth. And sometimes in that pushing forth and focusing on these things, these temporary things of this world, the priority shifts. There's a saying that says, you know, show me your calendar and I'll show you what you prioritize. Now, I know that's not true for baby boomers, because y'all probably don't even deal with y'all calendars like that, the digital camera, the digital calendars. That's cool. But there's some validity to that, right? There's some things to be said about what we consider a priority. And if we're not careful, if we're not paying attention, if we take our eyes off Christ, we will start prioritizing things that we never signed up for. And it's so easy for that to happen. And as Christians, I'm talking to you for a second, we cannot afford to be shifting our priorities in this world. We cannot afford it. We cannot take the chance that we remove Christ from being at the center of everything and start shifting it to other things. We cannot do that. We cannot. I could only imagine, I go back to Rodrigo again, I could only imagine what it would have been like if no one opened the truth to her. If other things was a priority in their lives, if the women that were getting with her said, you know what, yeah, I know you wanna get to know God, but I got these other things I gotta attend to. What a shame. And I'm so glad that we don't have to figure that out, because we know how that story ended. We know that it ended with her making Jesus Lord of her life. Remember your priorities. Now, for those of you who are not Christians, I want to talk to you for a second. As you look at the scripture, this young man who came to Jesus asking how to gain eternal life, and Jesus pointed out to him, hey, this is what you're going to have to do. The fact that Jesus is still calling you, knowing exactly what's in your heart, is good news. It means that there's still an opportunity, should you choose it. Jesus did not force the rich young ruler to sell everything. He asked him to, and he left it to his decision. Now, unfortunately, he walked away sad because we knew in his heart what he truly cherished. But for you, you have to make that same decision. You have to look in your own heart and ask, what is it that I'm holding on to? What is it that is more greater than the gift that Jesus is offering me in this hour? In Matthew 16, verse 24, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? I read this to you as a reminder of what we signed up for. We said, Jesus, we're going to follow you. And these are the things that we're willing to put to aside. We said this with a clear conscience and with joy and hope. We want to do this. We want to follow you. And Jesus laid it out. Because even if you gained everything in this world, what good will it do for you if you're going to forfeit your soul? What's your priority in life? What is it that so consumes you? These are the questions you must ask of yourself. I have to ask myself of that all the time. What is it that's going to consume me? What's going to draw me away from Christ? You see, I got to watch my life all the time. I got to watch how I live all the time, because I know it's going to benefit not only me, but it's going to benefit those around me. Those that are watching close, like my kids and my brothers and my sisters, and those who I'm not paying attention to, that's not really in my purview, but they're watching me. And they're looking not just for perfection, but they want to see how you respond in these circumstances. That's a powerful testimony to your faith, how you respond, how you live. These are the things that people will pay attention to, and they will ask those questions. Well, why do you live this way? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you why. It's an opportunity for every one of us to be able to share the gospel. You want to watch your life? It's going to take a full commitment. It's going to take a full commitment to Christ. That's what it means. When Paul told Timothy to watch his life in doctrine, he was reminding him of things that he taught him. That your life belonged to Christ. And as you're walking about, pay attention to how you live. Pay attention to the examples. Pay attention to what you're putting out there. Pay attention to your heart. Don't let it drift. These are the things that he was trying to convey to him. And these are the same things that Jesus conveys to us. If we're going to be rich, if we're going to be wealthy in these things. Be wealthy in sharing the gospel. As it says in Matthew 28:18, be wealthy in love. Be wealthy in love. If you want to have priorities in your life, have the love of Christ as a priority in your life. Be full of wealth when it comes to your generosity. I didn't put it up here, but in Timothy chapter 6, verse 18, I'll read it to you. It says, command them to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share. Right? If we're going to be rich, if we're going to be wealthy, if this is the things that we want to consume ourselves with, then here it is. These are things of the kingdom. These are things that help keeps our lives aligned with Christ. Again, as I said, I know we have family in town, and this is an opportunity for us to be able to enjoy the good food and the fellowship, but you know it's also an opportunity to get laxed spiritually. It's also an opportunity to take the night off. And so when we talk about watching our lives, we're walking around with a magnifying glass, and we have it placed on our heart, and we're paying attention. We're looking for the blemishes. Now, you know, our elder and his wife did a great job this Saturday morning on a marriage workshop. And they talked about, you know, yeah, clap it up. If those of you who attended, it was awesome, right? And there was one example about, there was a white sheet of paper and a dot, right? And everybody, you know, it was some kind of classroom experiment, and the students had to write about, you know, what they saw. And so they all wrote about the dot, every last one of them. But the whole point of the example was sometimes we pay attention to the little things and don't pay attention to the bigger things, right? Like this whole white sheet of paper, no one talked about the paper. Everybody talked about the dot, because you focus on sometimes the negative things, right? So when I say walk around with this magnifying glass, I'm not saying you're looking for perfection in your heart. Like you're a surgeon or a plastic surgeon, you're trying to, you know, clean up every little speck. But when you notice something is off, you need to address it. You need to address it. Or if someone is pointing this out to you out of love, consider it, address it. When you're sick, you go to a doctor. You tell the doctor, hey, I'm sick. Okay, they analyze, you know, they do their evaluation. They tell you, okay, here's the symptoms, this is what's happening, here's what you need. I'm gonna write you up this prescription. You get the prescription. But if you don't go to the pharmacist and pick it up, and it wasn't even worth the trip. So the whole point is we want to pay attention how we are walking in this life. It's so critical, not only for the kingdom, but it's also for your own soul. And for those of us who aren't Christians, again, you have an opportunity just like the rich young ruler. So as I'm closing out, I remind us the things that we should be paying attention to. Identify what should be the priority in your life. If these things are not lined up with Christ, if you find yourself not centered on God's word and what it provides, perhaps this is the time to make some changes. Jesus, when he talked to the rich young ruler, he asked him to do something very radical. Yes, sell what you have and give it to the poor. But guess what? He didn't leave him there. He said, then come follow me. So there was an invitation. So even now, even if we discover, man, there is some whacked out things in my life right now, and it's not centered on Christ, you have the opportunity to repent. As long as it's called today, we have the opportunity to make those changes so that we're lined up once again with Christ. That's what we're hoping that you'll start taking advantage of. As you go home, as you drive, as you're in your conversations, when you have your alone time, sit and examine yourself. Examine yourself and see if there's some blemishes that needs to be worked on. And if so, have the courage to address it. Have the courage and have the humility to allow the influence of Christ inspire you to these changes. And again, if those of you who are not Christians yet and you're thinking about it or you're on the fence, man, talk to somebody that brought you out today and ask some questions that might help you get lined up with where God is calling you to. Amen? Now, I'm sorry. I have one last announcement. We got the flannels on. We got the flannels on, right? So we're gonna be taking a picture after service. So what we would like is that once the last song is done, or even during the last song, parents, please go downstairs, get your kids, and so they can come back up here so the teachers can also be a part of the picture as well. So we're gonna come back in here in the sanctuary. I believe Manny's gonna be ready. He's gonna have the camera up there. We're gonna take a picture looking up. It's gonna be a great time. Again, we wanted to encourage our campus students. They wanna came up with this idea, so we wanted to show some support to them. We love you guys, amen.
All right, let's all stand. We're gonna have close out with Lord, I pray. I don't know where it disappeared to, but oh, there he is.